live from the Utility Muffin Research Kitchen in Canoga Park, California. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 swinging minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, retired statesman and well-loved father, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who knows a thing or two about explosives, Richard J. Ringhausen, and Daredevil, marksman, sculptor, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who has spit in two different oceans, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay! There we go.
Pretty jazzy opening.
I was doing my Jerry Lewis routine when he's doing his warm-up dance on stage when he's the Nutty Professor.
No, but when he's still the jerk.
No, while he's the...
Nutty Professor.
No, when he's Buddy Love. No,
he does that as Buddy Love.
Yep.
Oh, he does his spastic dance when he's before he's Buddy Love.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a guest with us today.
Professor Crump.
We got a guest with us.
Yeah.
World...
The elephant in the room. Tell us about it.
The Honorable Matthew J. Houck, former mayor of the Village of Hardin, president of the Village of Hardin.
I mean, I use that term in a friendly sense, and that, people are wondering, well, who's in the room?
You didn't bring the first lady with you, did you? She's like passed out on the couch someplace.
A quiet evening with no one around, yes, she is home.
Well, let me ask you this. When you first became mayor, did your wife rush out and buy a new wardrobe?
Actually, I think her words were, you did what? I was actually appointed by the Honorable Phil Gress.
I mean, when you weren't there?
That seems like the sort of thing that's more of a punishment than a reward.
It can be, yes.
What are the qualifications to be mayor in a town such as Hardin, Illinois? Breathing?
Pretty much.
Willing?
Hardin's one of the few areas that still caucus. So there's not a voting... you don't have to get signatures or whatever. Rick explained the caucus. It's actually quite interesting.
No, I don't think it will.
Ticks.
My question is, as a small town mayor, do people call you at home?
Only if they're angry.
Correct. Yeah, very few people will call you with anything positive to say.
Anyone ever?
No, the worst is
you didn't put your cell phone number out there, did you?
Oh no. Oh. The worst was you would be out and they would bother Mrs. Houck. Well, I didn't want to bother your husband since he's out. Was what would be said.
But if you could nag him about this,
pretty much that was much worse than bothering me.
Now, as the mayor of the town, did you get to drive the fire truck anytime you wanted?
Negative.
Did you walk around saying, as mayor of the Munchkin City?
Well, my beard's not red, so I...
Could you walk around town with your underwear on the outside and just do all kinds of crazy stuff? And he's the mayor!
Hey, Alan, didn't have anything to do with being mayor.
How do you think I got elected?
It's just one of those positions that you're so far above the average Joe that you're... You're elitist, man. You do whatever you want. Climb the water tower.
Can't spray paint your name on it? Or was that in high school?
That was a bridge.
It says Mattville.
This is the oldest tree in Mattville.
Yeah, did you get to ride up on the lift span?
Nope. Didn't get any of the perks, you know. They were
He's gonna be writing these down, you know.
Yeah.
That's because I decided to be mayor again.
Because to have done that you would have had to woke up Johnson.
Yeah.
Correct. Craig Johnson.
He's been a guest on our show. The bridge tender in the village of Hardin.
This is correct. He's also a patent thief.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the patent thief, the dirty thief. But as mayor of Hardin, did you were you the first one in for the annual polar bear swim in the river?
No, we did a what was that thing that went around for a while?
Streaking down Main Street.
Everybody's doing it up to the quad.
To be mayor, do you have to swim across the river and back?
Negative.
Could you?
At the time I was elected, probably. Not a lot of current in the Illinois at that time.
I'd have to see that to believe it.
It didn't say I could do it today.
What's going south?
Triple dog dare you.
I float a little better than I did back then, but my athletic capacity is a bit less.
That's one way to put it.
We all get better with age, man.
Out of shape. But round is a shape, right?
It's a good floater.
Do you know what I did today?
A bobber's round.
I'm gonna fess up to something.
Okay.
Went to the doctor for aching hip today.
Wow.
That's just a mark that you've become an old person, isn't it? When you have hip trouble.
Well, I think it's just part of your list.
Oh, well, yeah.
You got a lot of issues, Rick. Okay, let's get back to...
But, you know, they put me on a bunch of, like, different meds. I called or sent Susanna a text and said, they wanted me to take these meds. She said, those are the same ones the dog took. And it died.
Yeah, but the bigger question is, are they cheaper if you get them from the vet or from your doctor?
I asked her if she had any of them left.
Yeah?
It's the same medicine. It's exactly the same medicine. Just because it was prescribed for the dog doesn't mean you can't take it. It won't hurt you. It's exactly the same.
You get the same doses? I mean, you outweigh the dog by 50 times.
Well, I'd have to take a lot of them.
Okay.
Handful at a time.
And would Ivermectin? Your wife have to push it into a piece of raw meat to get you to eat it?
Well, I would.
Rick, might have been dinner.
Probably a suppository, if I had to guess. His preferred delivery method.
She ain't pushing him into that either.
Shh, Rick, go back to sleep.
All right.
What's going on here?
What were you wanting to say about the mayor, about the bridge tender?
He stole my patent on the girdle horn.
And then it went public.
I made a lot of money, I understand.
If you remember... Craig Johnson, when he was on here, claimed to be the inventor of the girdle horn.
Yes.
But it turned out that he fessed finally. We nagged him, and he fessed up that he stole the idea from Matt Houck.
He did? Were you dangling from the bridge?
This is factual. There was another product of mine.
When it comes to Johnson and dangling from the bridge... Never mind.
Go ahead.
I had a patent for a non-nutritive lubricant to help with the extremely difficult cases of getting in to the girdle horn, and that was stolen also.
I'm curious. Once you got it on, and it's been on for a while, and the lubricant kind of wears off, were there grease certs in the girdle that you could put some more lubricant in there?
Part of the beauty of the girdle horn was it could be used to provide spacing to insert more lubricant for removal of said girdle. The magic of the girdle horn. But the lubricant was also stolen. A gentleman created non-nutritive cereal varnish. Name was Clark Griswold. Got litigation against him, but that's tied up in court because apparently I'm behind the city of Chicago. Because said lubricant was used on a saucer sled to set the world saucer sled record, which is now being scrutinized for using a performance-enhancing lubricant.
Are you saying saucer or sausage?
Saucer.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You're talking about lubricant. I didn't know. Rick, do we have a subject for Pete's sake? God.
Yes, Alan, I have a topic. I have a topic today.
Okay.
I have a list of like 20 of the most exciting jobs, or 20 most fun jobs in the world that also pay well.
Okay, well, wait a minute.
According to Lifehack website.
Let's back up just a second here. Yeah. Well, and we'll start with our guest here, Matt Houck, mayor, former mayor of Hardin, but an IT guy in real life.
Correct.
Are you happy with your job?
Most days, absolutely.
Would you consider it a fun, enjoyable job?
Again, most days.
Do you sit there overall, and say, man, I'd rather be doing such and such than this crap?
Depends on the day. When my ex-neighbor calls me and says, boy, it'd be cheaper to fly you to Florida to fix my PC than pay these guys, it's not such a rewarding career.
You answer his calls?
When you only have one friend, you got to, keep them close.
Rick?
Yes?
In the early part of your life, you were an attorney.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I hated every single minute of it. I couldn't wait to not be in politics anymore. The decision to go into politics was the stupidest decision I ever made in my whole life. I don't know why I made it, and I counted the days until I was not in politics.
That's interesting, because you've made so many stupid decisions that you singled that one out. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
No, I loved it.
Okay. Well, I actually do love what I do, but there are people always looking for something else in life, and we have a list of supposedly the most fun jobs in the world that also pay halfway decent.
All right. We'll just take turns taking one, or you just pick one that you think you'd like to do.
Go ahead and start it off, Rick.
Unexploded ordnance technician. I don't see why they think this would be such a fun thing on here. But it says it. How much fun? How fun is it?
What number is that?
Number six. You get paid for blowing things up. You know, there's something.
There'd be a certain joy to that.
Where, you're in England and they're building a new building. They find some German bomb that didn't go off in World War II and they call you to do that. It says, how well does it pay? A stunning $150,000 a year.
That's not bad.
Requirement,
pulling
though,
stuff up.
You have to be a professional unexploded ordnance technician.
Yeah, I think that our friend Larry Moose Klunk was, when he was in, like, the military.
Yeah.
His job was explosives. He was an explosives expert.
You have to take 200 hours of training on munitions and explosives and material potentially threatening an explosive hazard, and 40 hours of hazardous waste operation.
That's just one week in your life, man.
Yeah, you get
trained, man. You can be trained in no time.
You know that when they fish one of those bombs out.
As part of that, though, you know, like there's a timer on the bomb, and there's only 3 seconds left. Do you throw yourself on the bomb to save the others?
Oh,
is that part of your training?
No,
or because you run screaming out of the room like a little girl.
No, you cut the other wire and it stops with 1 second to go. Everybody knows that when it comes down to stopping bombs, it's always with 1 second to go.
Okay, if you and your wife are sitting in your living room and World War II unexploded grenade that you have as a souvenir falls off the shelf, pin pops out, and do you throw yourself on it? Or
I'd throw her on it.
Okay.
No, I'd throw myself on it. Of course I'd save. Of course I'd save everyone. That's my nature. Somebody else take one.
I struggle with that. Okay, go ahead. Matt, pick. You should be doing number two.
Video game player. Absolutely.
You're an IT guy.
How fun is it?
Depending on the game, tons of fun.
So literally, when they make a new video game, there are people that are hired just to play the game, to test it for flaws, find bugs.
Absolutely.
And you just sit all day long playing video games.
Absolutely.
Kind of like Tom Hanks in Big, where he's playing with toys all day.
Yeah, kind of.
Would be a great job.
Toy tester.
$50,000 a year. I guess that's okay. I don't know. That's a great salary.
Be really good at the game, not normal type of good, but MLG level of greatness.
I wonder what MLG stands for.
Have a huge love for video games.
Okay, can I pick one?
Yeah.
Number 12, fortune cookie writer. I could do that, but I'm changing things up a little bit.
You know,
I'm going to be the unfortunate cookie writer.
Would you say most of the world is happiness or misery? Or just slogging through life?
I think most of the world is content.
Okay. So if in terms of writing fortunes, most of your fortune should just be content.
No. See, you're wrong. The fortune is going to be something better than what you're experiencing. That's what brings you up, man.
No, the fortune.
That's part of the enjoyment of eating that cookie is reading that fortune. Like, ooh, it says I'm going to be rich someday.
So, have you had the experience?
So it's just living a lie.
But have you had the experience where you
it
open
says,
the...
I'm going to lose my hair.
Stop interrupting, Matt.
I see.
I like it.
I see how this is gamed. But have you had the unpleasant experience of getting the fortune cookie that says your lucky numbers are 3, 5, and 1? They don't actually give you a fortune. Do you go back and say, hey, this isn't a fortune cookie?
You're
this
reading the wrong side.
Some of them are these generic nonsense. It's like, do you take that back and say, I want an actual fortune cookie? Or you just
I'd slog through it
in your dreary day and say, yet another kitten for your day.
And you're talking about this is at a restaurant. You're doing this.
Correct.
The maximum level here you can go is take the remaining fortune cookie and grind it into their face and say, I want something better.
Are you the sort of guy that sends your food back at a restaurant because there's some flaw with it?
You don't do that, do you?
No, never have.
Good.
Because you know, you don't mess with the people who handle your food.
When Tina brings your supper and puts it on the table, do you ever send it back?
That would be no.
You know, this is a little underdone.
I've been tempted. We went to a restaurant. It was my choice. It's called Amrut, Chesterfield Valley. Had absolutely good food, but it was Indian fusion was its genre or type of food. And one of the gentlemen in our party made the mistake of ordering goat prime rib. Goat prime rib. And I will have to say...
Well, wait a minute. When you say goat prime rib, you mean greatest of all time prime rib? Or the actual
made of
animal?
A goat.
Oh, straight up belly.
Okay.
Straight up belly goat prime rib.
The Hindu belly thing he was talking about.
I don't know of any words.
Deli belly is the
deli belly. So this is where you got your experience with that.
That term actually came from someone that had experienced that deli belly in the military, a friend of mine. But after the attempt to eat the goat prime rib, yeah, I can see where it comes from. It was awful.
Really?
Yes.
Did he send it back? Say, bring me a fresh goat?
No, it actually was...
goat has turned.
It was actually coiled up, and it actually kind of looked like it was a plate full of possum tails. It was quite disgusting.
Well, that's kind of weird. But the problem, I think, with saying, well, this doesn't taste right, would imply that you've had goat before.
Correct. It's hard to send that back.
Might have been the best goat that's ever been laid out on a plate.
That is entirely possible. Everything else was fantastic. And as you said, I don't know that it was bad goat. I have no other goat tasting experience to compare it to. But it was god awful at the time.
Do you remember we had that goat?
Yeah, I wouldn't eat him.
And we had it in the back of the truck, and we went up to Alfano's Pizza, and the goat was outside bleeding, and he wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
He was going to cook it.
Goat pizza. Okay.
Toy designer. How fun is it? Realize your kid ultimate dream and design toys for real kids. Pays about $70,000 a year.
You know, that's not as easy as it sounds because most of the cool toys in the world have been invented. You have to have a passion, great passion in toys and how toys make children happy. Nah,
it's for yourself.
You're making toys for yourself as an adult.
It's the child in you, yeah.
And how many patents and designs are ripped off by the Inventec companies you call to help you market your great idea.
So you're still afraid that Johnson's going to steal your new toy ideas, aren't you?
Know someone that entered a contest for toy creation and came up with a weather doll, Connie the weather doll, and it was a great idea.
This sounds wrong. What sort of magazine do you buy that in?
It was actually pretty interesting. It came with a thermometer, different clothes to change the doll into for the weather for the day.
Do you do that a lot?
It was well thought out as a child's toy, actually.
Do you still have it?
I think there was a prototype made. I know there was a sketch and designs. Because the content.
How long did it take to blow it up?
Wasn't that type of doll. But it was a good idea.
It is a good idea. Blimp pilot. $70,000 a year. You have to have 1,200 hours of flight time, be a certified flight instructor, or have a commercial rating.
That sounds excessive on the training. I've been in a blimp.
You have been in a blimp?
I watched the guy flying the thing.
For really?
Pretty simple. I could have just stepped up and flown it the rest of the day.
You've been in a blimp?
Yes, I have.
When were you been in a blimp?
I was in the McBlimp. McDonald's blimp?
No, McDonald's had a blimp.
McDonald's had a blimp. It was called the McBlimp, and they had it down, landed on the grounds of the Gateway Arch, and as a promotional thing, I went down there as radio announcer. And went for a ride in the McBlimp. And blimps, one of the ways that they got, they got a small engine on, with the rudders on it and stuff. But to control the blimp, it has a baffle that runs the length of the blimp on the inside that's partially filled with water. And they have a giant wheel inside of it that adjusts the fluid in it, so it either raises or lowers the nose of the blimp.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it's constantly like undulating as it goes. I mean, when you look at it, they're like, wow, that's a smooth riding thing. It's not.
Make you puke.
It's like riding on the ocean, man.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd like that, but you think you could have landed it if the pilot died?
Absolutely.
Matt, you've been...
I was tempted to push him out of the way as it was.
You've recently flown to San Diego, correct?
Yes, I have.
If you were on that plane and a pilot, and they said, pilot just, ate a piece of bad fish and he's passed out.
And they're dragging him down the aisle to the back of the plane.
And somebody's got to land the plane. You're going to trust that job to anyone other than you?
No. No, I'm going to fight to get into the cabin and fly the plane.
Attaboy.
Absolutely.
I would do it just because I have this thing about pressing buttons.
I would do it because I know everything.
And there you go.
Oh, here, you want to do another commercial before we get...
Oh, absolutely. I was going to start with the next career, but I will be more than happy.
You can do a commercial.
Well, you can pretend like you're in career number 20, radio or television announcer.
There you go.
Ahead.
I'm going to preview this one first.
No, you don't have to.
No, here we go.
You just read them.
Hi, I'm Matt Haug. You might know me as the former mayor of Hardin, Illinois, or as the hardworking sound engineer for the Calhoun Entertainment Company. Sure, I work hard because that's what people expect from a diligent public servant like me. But like you, when work is done, there's nothing I like more than a Little Debbie. You betcha. I just can't wait to get my hands on a Little Debbie. Sweet, soft, and delicious. Little Debbie has never let me down. Oh, sure, I've had my fair share of lesser tarts over the years, but none compare to the satisfying sweetness of Little Debbie. Don't make me share my Little Debbie. Get your own. Little Debbie, the official tasty treat of the Ringhausen Brothers, Alligator Wrestling, and of me, John Matthew Haug.
There you go.
Many a time have we talked about Little Debbie's here on the...
Jackie went to the Little Debbie factory.
Went to the factory. Did she get to get free snacks while she was there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they brought home a whole bunch of them.
Awesome. Samplers like they do at the brewery.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. That's exactly what it was.
Quite amazing.
I had a daughter worked at the brewery, Anheuser-Busch down in St. Louis. My oldest daughter did. But she was like...
She'd come home drunk every night?
No, she's right out of college. You get free brews, a certain amount. I don't know how many cases per month you get or per week, whatever. She was under 21 at the time and did not get a drop.
Mm. Wow.
They follow the rules at Anheuser-Busch.
She should have got a job working a bar in Calhoun.
Yeah. And, even my wife stepped up and said, Well, could I go down there as your mother and accept the free beer?
And get your share. It's going to waste.
A friend, also a friend that's a chemist for Anheuser-Busch, and...
Wait a minute. What'd you just say? Are they putting chemicals in my beer?
Well, they test it. So it's been, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago where they no longer allow the sampling, just the actual taste testing on the floor by the chemists and the quality control. Now it's all machine operated.
Aww.
My friend gets the job. That was his biggest gripe. He's, well, they get the job, and now they don't do the actual taste testing.
That don't seem right.
Wow. Yeah. I don't want some machine testing my beverages. I want human beings doing it. Are spitting it back out.
I want to get drunk on the job.
Disneyland face character. How well does it pay? About $32K a year, it says. Strict height and appearance regulations. You have to be able to impersonate a character. I think this is not like Mickey Mouse or Pluto, where you wear the big hat. I think they're talking about like The Little Mermaid or Cinderella, where your face is actually showing. You're playing the character.
Okay, you mean like the princesses?
Yeah.
Disney princess. Otherwise, you know, we're just doomed to be one of the dwarfs.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Ethical hacker. How fun is it? Hired to legally hack into computer systems and be proud of doing so.
You're kind of doing that now, aren't you?
Absolutely.
So, Global Information Assurance Certificate, Penetration Tester Qualification. That sounds wrong. Offensive Security Certified Professional Qualification. You ever hear any of them?
Absolutely. It's big business.
Really?
Yes. People hire hackers to verify that their network is secure. So you're hiring someone to come in and perform a bunch of tests, try to hack your network. A lot of cyber security policies, insurance policies, require penetration testing and these certifications from people. There's a whole industry involved in checking for ways to break into your network.
So like when you put up some new system, do you personally try to break into it to see whether it works?
Absolutely. As a city government, we're allowed access to, they call them benchmarks, and there's a system and server, and you set this up and you run these benchmarks from inside of your network, and it tries to break into your servers with all of the known published hacks and tries to crack it and then tells you what needs to be done to fix it.
Okay,
if
so
it finds any.
Like on your programs, if somebody tries to get into one of your programs, does the screen come up with, you know, like your face
with going cross?
Got to have the password for Jurassic Park.
Only the Unix systems.
Okay. I know this system.
It's a Unix system.
All right, race engineer. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. This, you know.
What'd you think you're going to be like?
I want to drive it, but this is a race engineer that you monitor a race car performance and communicate with the driver.
Oh no, no, you are actually part of the race. I don't think so.
That's not. You're not a part of it. You're not in the race.
No.
And it says it has a requirement of a degree in mathematics and physics.
Pays $134K a year.
Work under immense pressure. You're not driving the car.
Half a second delayed response can cost a race.
Hmm. You think you'd get a job working in a pit crew?
Ooh. No. My reflexes are just a little bit
pit
too
crew,
slow
Alan,
for that.
Could you work as
pit crew? Attention deficit problem.
It pulls in there.
Where's Ringhausen? I went to get soda. I didn't know he's going to come in.
Why are there three lug nuts?
Standing out there stepping on the thing that makes the bell ring. Ding, ding.
Reminds me of that Ford versus Ferrari when the character, he went over the guy that was playing
Ferrari.
Matt Damon's character went over and he chucked a couple lug nuts in the Ferrari pit after their car pulled out, and everybody's like, "Whoa!" They're all running around. I can see that for you,
that's
Alan.
A nice touch, yeah.
Well, that was a pretty cool scene where the thing jumps off the road and flies into a crowd of people.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Absolutely, sommelier.
That's what you like that Rick?
I thought it was a well-made scene.
Crash into a crowd of people?
No, I'm against that.
Okay.
Officially.
I got my eye on you.
Sommelier, you said that really well. Wine taster?
Are you French?
Well,
the answer is oui.
Requirement, extensive knowledge of wine, highly sensitive to taste and smell, and great communication skills.
They actually have the similar as to a sommelier for the beer industry.
A sommelier. There, he said it again.
What is it if you're like just like a butter taster? Fatty. More butter. This butter.
I can't believe tastes it's, like I can't believe the, it's not butter.
The cow got into a garlic patch.
Okay, it's Napoleon Dynamite.
Radio and television. Let me carry the show. Radio and television announcer. I mean, we have one in the show here. Here.
So, do you like doing this? Do you want to get paid to do this, Matt?
I should be getting paid to do this.
Let's see if Alan had the requirements.
Wait, it says
to do
able
the job.
To meet celebrities and politicians.
A degree in journalism, broadcasting, and related fields.
Well, related.
What if you got a degree in trivia? Specialized.
I had a degree in lying.
Specialized knowledge.
Wait a minute, that's the politicians.
Didn't some nun once write you some letter accusing her of that?
Of being a con man?
Yeah.
Catholic nun.
Oh, this is a story. We got to hear this.
This Catholic nun was retired, that I worked with for years on environmental projects and stuff like that. And she said, I learned so much about being a con man from you.
And now I'm leaving the church.
Oh, okay. Can we cover all the careers? I think the big one here is podcast host.
Podcast host.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
And but not everybody's going to do it because of the education required.
A degree in podcasting.
In making stuff up.
And that. Where are we at time-wise?
Everything we say here is true.
Where are we at time-wise?
We're over.
Enough over that I can cut some of that stuff out?
We're over, Rover.
Okay. Well, it's been great to have you, President Halk.
We've learned so much.
The pleasure's been mine.
Wait, there is one other question I'd like to ask. When the arrow stuck in the sill of your neighbor's house.
Oh, yeah.
Was it an accident or were you trying to kill him?
Total accident. I'm not a violent person.
Okay, and if the same thing happened after this podcast, would it be another accident?
Funny, I got a letter in the mail on Village Letterhead that stated the ordinance against the discharge of firearms and or archery equipment within the village limits.
Huh. And that was a legal opinion.
It was the legal opinion of our current, at that time,
Remember
village
when
attorney.
I said I hated lawyering? That was the one good day.
It also had a clause that says that exceptions can be given by the mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course,
which means you're running around town shooting everybody's house.
So now which was granted quickly along with a letter advising the attorney if he wanted to keep his job. Oh, he would no longer send me the rules.
Were you guys mayor and city attorney at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
There was overlap there,
period,
huh?
Yes.
Yeah, a little.
And you guys can talk about it now.
Well, he fired me.
You finally... That only makes sense.
Well, that letter about the arrow.
All right.
Didn't give me my arrow back either.
Didn't.
See you later. From Rick Gator.
Matt Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Little Debbie, the only girl in Matt Halk's heart, other than Tina. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Matt Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. The part of Stokey the Goat Tender was played by J. Matthew Houck.